Hello, and welcome to episode 64 of the Surreal Global Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, myself, Ivy, and You'll Never Walk Alone, are delighted to be joined by the Surreal Academy team, F-Trader, Adam, and Football MDJ. This week, we're going to have a look at what is the Surreal Academy, how it came about, what's in plan for 2022, and much, much more. So it's an absolute pleasure to have you both on today. Adam, you're a first-timer coming on the pod, and Mel, as many of our listeners will know, is returning. Not as a
seasoned vet.
Yeah, that's it. Not just as a Surreal manager, Surreal ambassador, but also part of the academy team. So I'm looking forward to hearing a bit more about how that came about and that journey. So yeah
great. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm definitely a newbie to the Surreal podcast scene. So it's good to kind of meet you guys and kind of see where it goes today.
Yeah, welcome to you both. Well, Mel, welcome back again. Well, Mel, yeah. We talked about being well before we pressed the live button.
Yeah, welcome thanks for having me back. I'm glad I can make the sequel. I must have not been too bad the first time.
How long ago was it? It feels like a while back, because I've seen, obviously, your journey on Twitter and in the channels. You've obviously, you've gone deep into some NFT rabbit holes since I think we first spoke.
Yeah, I think I've probably fell down those rabbit holes since. So I guess it was at the beginning
or
of the
cat
year.
Holes.
Always cat-shaped holes.
Well, I think that's how it's done in the NFT space. You've got to have your animals now. So whether it's cats or apes, I'm an ape person myself. But you know, I think you've got to have at least one, right?
That's it. It was actually over a year ago, the 11th of December.
Oh my God! Really? Wow.
Football MDJ, mastering the art of selling. Episode 13.
I haven't mastered it, I've got to say. I don't think I'm doing any better now than I was then.
So we've come some way. Yeah, I think that the platform's changed significantly, hasn't it, since then? So a whole year on.
But putting Surreal to one side temporarily, you obviously say you've evolved in this space, you've got involved in a lot of different new and exciting things. Are you able to summarise up your year since you were last on it?
Yeah, it's been a crazy year for many reasons. I mean, what a year. From the beginning of the year where other platforms that I was involved in just suddenly went bust, which was somewhat challenging.
Do we talk about that platform? Is that a banned word?
we talk about it on 50% of the pods, I think.
I think we do. Everybody's still scarred from it, yeah. I was scarred by the collapse of Football Index and then the swift collapse of Footstock straight afterwards. So I was like doubly scarred. And I remember reaching out to you, Hybe, and then to you, Adam, as well at the same time, just going, this is a nightmare. So just threw myself even more into Surreal after that.
And it's really hard to believe that was just, was it 8 months ago now? And kind of all that's happened since then, it's been a crazy year for sure.
It's been absolutely crazy, but I think having Surreal on the go already meant that at least I still had some focus, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't about the money as much as it was about having that community and that hobby, and Surreal, you know, was already doing that for me, and it's just continued to fill that gap as well. So, yeah, it's been a good year. Won a few things, no podiums. I'm not really that kind of girl. Just carrying on in my mediocre kind of way, just hey, doing well enough for me.
And what about yourself, Adam? When did you start on Surreal?
I was, similar to MDJ. So I was definitely very heavily involved in Football Index. You know, I had my kind of football trader site. So I spent a lot of time kind of creating content around that platform. So I guess I'd wish I'd joined Surreal sooner, but I was so kind of deep into what was going on there. And, you know, when Football Index kind of fell over, that's when I really started looking at it. So I guess we're talking sort of March to April. That's when I really started sort of following really what was going on in any kind of detail. And that was a weird time, because you obviously had a lot of the kind of football Twitter community still thinking about Football Index and, you know, that kind of horrible situation. So that's when I started getting into it, and just kind of, I really liked what was going on. I actually started with a MLS team, just because that was kind of that was the kind of trend at the time, because the European leagues were obviously coming to an end at that time. So I started doing a bit of content around that, and also got chatting to the Surreal team themselves about what we could maybe do, because I did some writing for the Fantasy Football Scout site as well. So the way I thought I could best get involved in So Rare really was kind of bringing those two partners together, which is what ultimately became the So Rare Academy, because it is Fantasy Football Scout's kind of official foray into So Rare really. So I was able to kind of link that together, and I chose to kind of contribute through that kind of route rather than I did think for a while about doing similar to what I'd done on the Football Index with a kind of content creation site. But I thought this was just—it was something different, you know, something new that kind of wasn't out there at the time. A kind of free-to-play game, apart from the one-shot league, was there as well. But you know, I thought that, you know, there is a lot of So Rare content out there, and a lot of it is very good. So I actually didn't fancy just kind of duplicating that or kind of doing more of the same. I thought I'd do something a little different here.
So I'm just looking at the Surrey Academy site now. I've got my squad in for next week. We've got two days, 19 hours to go until the squad goes in.
Yeah, the sort of 11 a.m. Friday deadline. Yeah,
I'm finding it quite difficult to put in good scores. I'm coming in the bottom 70% every time, picking the top guys every week. Your Tony Cruises, your Trents, your Benzemas, your Depays, but they don't seem to bang when I put them in. So I must be a bit of a curse there. I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board.
You might get an invite to the Influencer League then to replace Quinny or Nellis, who are propping that up at the moment.
Savage.
Well, yeah, sorry, I was just testing my mute again. As I was on, yeah.
I guess, what I've heard kind of people say is you obviously get a lot of people on So Rare saying, oh, you know, I could do that if I had, if I had the same cards as whatever. But it's actually, you know, even when the playing field is leveled, and you know, you kind of have the freedom of choice, you almost get a bit too much choice because you're like, yeah, I can only pick five, and there's so many kind of stars to pick from, and you sort of get that sort of embarrassment of riches effect where you actually find yourself struggling to know who do I put in. So I always find it quite interesting and sort of challenging to pick a team. But for a lot of people, they play this as like their first experience of So Rare. So what I tend to tell people is just, you know, it's a free-to-play game. Don't sweat it too much. It's just really about picking a team that kind of makes sense to you and that you've had fun picking, and then seeing how it goes over the weekend, because it's kind of risk-free, you know.
That's it. And are you seeing lots of new users who have not joined So Rare yet coming on board and picking up this game initially?
Yeah, so that's the idea really. So certainly from So Rare's perspective, they're obviously very keen to get new users, kind of rather than kind of broadening that reach they've got into more kind of casual football fans as well as kind of NFT fanatics. So that's obviously a natural way of doing that for them, is to link up with someone like Fantasy Football Scout, who are, you know, as far as I know, they're the biggest sort of fantasy content creator in the UK, possibly in the world. I don't really know, but certainly have a very large reach. So that's why they were kind of interested in working with Scout. So I think the kind of hope long term is that obviously you guys probably know more about this than I do, but we have heard the rumors that So Rare are attempting to acquire the EPL rights at some point, which you guys might know more about than me. But if that were to happen, you would think that the So Rare interest in the UK might pick up quite a lot. And in that case, you would hope that maybe the Academy can play quite a strong role there in sort of being the sort of a bit of a gateway to it in a way that's really kind of easy to understand, and it's free. And you don't need to spend the money. It takes 5 minutes to sign up, and you can kind of give it a try. So that's the kind of overall intent of the site, really. It's just to kind of give a really easy kind of onboarding path for people just to try the game. It's free to play, takes 5 minutes, and off you go.
Can I just ask a question there, Adam? In terms of, as I said, the Premier League license is the last one that's missing, but it can go either way. You know, Sturia could announce, or someone else could announce that they've got it, whether or not it's open to, you know, more than one company at any one time to have a license to do what they want to do with, who knows. But if Sturia don't go and obtain the Premier League for whatever reason, am I right in saying that your setup is, you know, more UK led? How do you see, you know, what you do being any different if the Premier League took a lot longer to come on board?
That's an interesting question. I guess what we would do wouldn't necessarily change. You know, we're happy to kind of serve people from all over. In fact, most of our users are actually from France, I believe, from looking at the site analytics. And, you know, we're kind of happy to have everyone. I think the reason it's UK focused is because Fantasy Scout are themselves kind of UK focused, or at least kind of English Premier League focused at the moment. So I think, you know, if for example, So Rare did not get the rights, I think the Academy would just absolutely kind of continue. But I think it's possibly a good opportunity if, because you would imagine if So Rare did acquire those rights, then I would assume that their kind of marketing spend in the UK would increase, and you'd start seeing So Rare along the side of the pitch in football games and things. I'm kind of speculating, but that's what I would imagine. And if that was the case, you would probably expect a lot more people to be interested in So Rare in the UK. And if so, the Academy would certainly be there as an easy way for people to experience what it's like.
I was going to say, do we know when this announcement's going to be made? Because obviously they had a meeting, a month ago about the Premier League rights? I think we're all waiting now with bated breath to see if we might get an early Christmas present.
No, I don't know. I didn't even realise it was something that could be as imminent as that. I mean, I just know that since starting out in the game all those months and years ago, one of the biggest questions I've been fielded from friends and those that have, you know, perhaps not wanted to really delve into, you know, some of the more foreign and exotic leagues that we all know and love now is that, you know, when's the Premier League coming on board? When's the Premier League coming on board? It's like, okay, let me know. And then, you know, I'll probably get interested when that's happening. And I'm sure you guys have had that fielded to you numerous times from, you know, connections and friends that you have. And it's just getting to the stage now. A lot of people are now asking me, well, what happens if they don't get the Premier League? You know, okay, someone will. That means there'll be another platform. There'll be something else that you'll be potentially looking to take time and revenue away from, you know, what we perhaps consider putting into Serrare. And how would that change the way you approach the game? You know, has Serrare got over the hump in terms of they've got so many licenses from everywhere else? Does that have any impact on the way that you view or would play Serrare? And so I think if there is an announcement incoming very quickly, then great. But if not, you know, is that holding people back from doing anything at the moment, or are some of the perhaps things, bugbears that we want to see corrected within the game? Is that what's holding some people back from getting involved a bit deeper?
I guess it will be. I think even on other platforms like the not to be named Football Index, but it's relevant, so I will. But you know, even there, you would often see people quite bewildered at the prospect of five leagues. You know, certainly in this country, in a sort of traditional, if you're taking the sort of fantasy football scout sort of audience, you know, they don't even know the Bundesliga or League One. So there was certainly a thing about, you know, when I even asked my kind of site members at the time, after the kind of Football Index thing, you know, what are you guys interested in? Is there any other platforms you would like me to cover or talk about? And a lot of them, maybe 20-30% of them would say So Rare, and a lot of the others would say actually not that interested, because I'm not interested in the J League would be the kind of classic thing. So I think certainly having the EPL on board would get a lot more people interested, but I think also there's probably something about the way the competitions are structured in that I think people like to sort of compare like with like, if you know what I mean. So when you would sell people, just my kind of anecdotal experience, you know, that a J League player could beat Messi, they'd just be like, well, come on, like, is that serious? And, you know, on So Rare, there's obviously a very good reason why that is the case, because, you know, you kind of need that number of cards to, you need all cards to kind of have value. But I think there's certainly something about that. You know, when you talk to sort of casual users who kind of aren't, there might be football fans or, general fantasy fans, but that's certainly something I hear them say when you do bring up So Rare, for sure.
There's a couple of things you mentioned there. You obviously touched on it being an onboarding tool and briefly on the Ubisoft One-Shot League. And a question that was out the other day there, I tweeted back around it. This tool you guys have built could be a replacement for the Ubisoft One-Shot League. We saw with that the Jupiler League coming on as a sort of a draft tool there, an onboarding tool to get new users on board, giving them a way to experience Surrear, what it was like, what the scoring was like, the a very simple selection of the five players. And you've also then just touched upon a lot of your members wanting that segregation of leagues and not wanting to see all of this competition, maybe not seeing Jupiler playing up against La Liga. So could that be a way your site evolves in having those individual league entries, those onboarding tools for the J League, for the Premier League, for Serie A, for all of these?
It absolutely can. I mean, I never really designed it as a kind of a competitor or anything like that to the One Shot League. I guess at the time I built it, I was assuming that that would kind of continue. I'm not actually sure why it didn't, but you know, in terms of the gap that is there, a kind of free-to-play experience that anyone can just come along and play for free, it kind of absolutely does fill that. And what's interesting about the way we built it, it's built by a friend of mine called Fred, who is a really, really, really good developer. And what's interesting about it is that unlike other leagues, it's actually built on the common cards, which is actually... it's more difficult to build that way because the So Rare database is not really designed for people to access a lot of common cards. So basically, in summary, that just means that we had to do a lot more work in the back end, which the result of which is that we can be a lot more flexible. So if we want to just say we're going to have a EPL only competition, we absolutely can do that. It's pretty easy for us to do that. Or like you say, we could make it, if we targeted an Italian market, we could just do a Serie A competition. It's quite easy for us now to create those sort of different competitions. So we're sort of just sort of seeing how what we've done lands and seeing what feedback we get. But yeah, potentially for next year, we can kind of create whatever kind of competitions people are interested in. The only real blocker to it is, you know, where do the prizes come from and can we afford them?
Before you touched on the prizes there, all I was hearing was, yeah, this we can do this. We'll have it next week. We'll have individual leagues set up on Surrear Academy and you can enter your lineups for each of them, along with a global competition.
Oh yeah, we can. We do have another division planned. Can give you an exclusive, actually. So
we always like those.
Yeah. Alpha alert.
So such alpha. So yeah, you can. Basically, we've had planned for a while in the background that we will have more than one division in the academy. So obviously, right now you come in and you use free cards, but there's probably. The intent of the academy is to kind of prepare people to enter kind of SO5, but there's probably a sort of intermediary step there where you don't want to buy all five cards, including a goalkeeper. You know, maybe you just want to buy two or three cards, kind of see how it goes, and then you can use kind of free fills to kind of make up your numbers in your team, including the dreaded goalkeeper. So what we've got planned is basically a division where you require three limited cards to play. So once you've kind of graduated from the kind of free to play game, you can pick up three limiteds and you can use those three limiteds, in the division, and then you can fill for free and without penalty, any two spots with a free card, basically. So this is designed to be a sort of middle step for someone who's just getting started and maybe can afford a few cards, and then they can use the rest as kind of easy fills. So then once you've got the kind of free division and you've got that three limiteds plus two division, that feels to me like a quite a nice onboarding ramp to the full game. I don't know if you guys have got any thoughts on that.
No, I like it. I think giving people more ability to actually play, explore and try the game before having to really commit. We know the prices can be, you know, quite off-putting to people. It's a different type of game. People are coming into this space new, and especially, I'd imagine, from your usual clientele, the fantasy football space, where typically it's free to play. You might spend £10 a year competing against your best friends, but you're not normally spending a lot of money playing these games. It's all about the fun, the enjoyment. So that ramping up, that onboarding in a slower way, and that ability to give people more chance to actually play the game.
It is, you know, and I think it's easy for if you're involved in NFT, particularly this year, I think it's easy to get sort of immune to the price tags. You know, when you're routinely sort of trading apes and cats for thousands of dollars without, and you kind of get immune to how much things should cost, and then you actually speak to someone who's not kind of used to that world, and you say, you know, they say, you paid how much for a what now? And you do get reminded, like, these kind of prices are not normal to most people. You know, when they come to a game, they're expecting to pay, you know, 20 quid, 50 quid. So it is difficult. And that's probably why we're not seeing kind of hundreds of thousands of users, millions of users. You know, it's because those prices do kind of keep people away. So I do hope that the limited cards do kind of settle at some point, to the point where, you know, normal people can start playing this game for kind of a few hundred pounds. So I think that's when you can start to kind of convert enough people to get a kind of critical mass, because I think these games they're very social. Well, that's the main reason I play them. So you almost kind of need more and more people to play, so that, you know, because the best players of the game need people to show off to, right? You know, so if more and more people are involved, the game gets more and more exciting.
That's it. And you're talking about it being very social. It's very social in an online aspect, but with like FPL, the scale and the size of that, that's social online, but also locally in your friendship groups and at work spaces. So I think that's where Surreal needs to get to, doesn't it? And trying to build that gap and get to that point where people are playing this and able to, yeah, really enjoy it with people offline, with the groups of friends. But that price point is probably a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, at this stage. But yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. So if you can get to a point where you can legitimately just email your work colleagues and say, I'm starting a SoRare League, do you want to join in? And there'd be enough people around to do it. You know, that's the sort of time when SoRare becomes a kind of household name. Do you know what I mean? But
that's it. So I'm in an FPL group with people from work who, I'd say with them, I'm not really interested in football, but they've all joined a fantasy football league. They're all entering their team on a weekly basis, and there's weekly banter about it. Even people, they're not really that interested in football. They've maybe got a club allegiance. They're maybe picking someone from their hometown or that kind of thing. But
maybe it's the people that are serious in the office multi-accounting.
I have seen that. I often accuse someone in my group of winning with his, he calls it his wife's team, but I know for a fact, no interest whatsoever.
It's interesting, isn't it, though, what we've just talked about in the last few minutes. There's these kind of three things that SoRare, it feels like SoRare needs to be able to nail in the next few months to start to push towards that critical mass. And it feels that the Academy can really help with those things. I mean, we might not be able to do a huge amount about price point, but by introducing that level of progression where people can start playing for free and then can start playing with three limited cards, it starts to become within people's average budget. And then with the publicity, the push from Fantasy Football Scout, and, you know, if we do end up with the Premier League being onboarded as well, the combination of those things, I think, could really kick off some growth, certainly in the UK and hopefully beyond as well. It does feel like we're on the cusp of something if all the dominoes fall correctly at the right time.
Well, the thing is, there's always so many variables, and you've all highlighted the pricing one. And, you know, I guess it's, you know, without wanting to quote my good friend AJ and run the wrath of featuring in a negative journalistic report. But to use the poker analogy very loosely, you know, there's no game out there which pairs off, you know, people that want to play on the free to play versus the $1 or $2 table versus the no limits table. And that has its challenges because of the supply. The supply has challenges because of the rewards. The rewards have challenges. It's a continuous circle. And if you've got one of these variables which are out of sync, then it causes people to take a step back and go, you know, it's almost like a roundabout. That's kids roundabout that's going round and round and round. You jump on, and when you're on, everything's perfect. Everything's moving. You know, there's things that you can do, but it's jumping onto something which is moving so fast in the first place, which is the daunting part. And I think these challenges are not, you know, it's not just a case of right, we found that a challenge now, and we've overcome it. Tick. Now we move on. It's like, because by getting one other part of the piece of the puzzle right, another one then perhaps comes out of kilter, and you're like, okay, right, we need to push that one back in now as well. I mean, where I see your onboarding is extremely helpful from a Sorare's perspective, because they can start to hopefully get another cross-section of feedback that you're able to feed to them about, you know, why people do and why people don't go from a free-to-play environment into something where, so they can perhaps use their knowledge to generate a more substantial return. I mean, we've seen it with, you know, Sorare Mega, you know, having the ability now to play 3 cards, 5 cards, 8 cards. Mm-hmm. That's evolved. And, you know, just touching on your earlier point about prizes as well, I'm sure, you know, it sounds like you've got the foundations in place now, which can prove to be very valuable for Sorare in terms of the sort of, you know, say, data and feedback that you can give them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there's no reason why they can't, like they've done with Sorare Data, like they've done with Sorare Omega. I'm not sure if they've done it with Sorare Brag, but hopefully there's going to be the ability to give you guys an allocation of prizes that in turn you can distribute out through your various chosen structures as well.
And obviously the limited cards have really helped with that, because they were a bit hamstrung before in terms of giving out prizes with just the rare as the lowest tier. So I think that has hopefully helped Sorare to have a bit more in their pocket to give away to support these side platforms, because they're so important to the game economy. And I think, you know, that we do so much collectively, all of those side games, to bring people into the game and keep people engaged. You know, so I think
Sorare have been great with us, really super supportive, and they do provide the 10 cards we give away each week currently. Sorare provide all of those for us, you know, very, very kind of supportive, and they're definitely open to doing more in future as well, I think. But yeah, it's got to kind of demonstrate value, I think. You know, we're sort of doing one thing, we're providing a game now, but we also want to be kind of ready for, you know, you kind of never know what happens in this space. You could, you know, if we could get to a point where, you know, you've got the EPL rights and Sorare are kind of gunning really hard for the UK market, I'm sure that would be a kind of conversation for us to have, because, you know, maybe they'd want to give us kind of even more support at that point. You kind of never know. But at least by then, you know, what I didn't want to do is be like, let's wait for an EPL license and then we'll kind of do something, because by then it's kind of too late. Like, your development time is high, you won't have kind of crushed all the bugs. But hopefully by the time anything like that happens, you know, the academy will be kind of there and ready. And if nothing happens, you know, it's kind of doing fine. You know, we've got, I think it's 3,000 players a week. People report they're having a good time. We've had a few issues with a few update bugs, because as I mentioned before, the Sorare API, the backend isn't really cut out for dealing with common cards. It's quite unusual, and it means we have to build it in a slightly different way. So we've had a few issues, but we're kind of getting over those. And yeah, we're kind of ready now to kind of, for whatever comes, really.
So in terms of the next 12 months, you know, you've obviously highlighted there, you know, the accelerated speed in which you might be able to attract new users if the EPL was to be signed up. But in terms of next 12 months, how do you see that playing out roughly? I know you said there's so many things that could change, you know, come off air in an hour and find out, oh, this has happened, and that means a change of direction. But ideally, where would you like to be positioned in 12 months from now?
12 months. Well, yeah, I mean, assuming...
Which is about 400 years in normal world time.
In NFT land, that's, light years away. But yeah, 12 months, if we could get to a stage where... ideal world, those EPL rights had kind of come in, and we were looking forward to maybe starting next season with the EPL cards there. I probably expect us to be doing kind of much more on social media, much more with Fantasy Football Scout. We do a weekly article at the moment on the main Fantasy Football Scout and on their Twitter as well, which from memory I think has 200,000 followers, or is it 100,000 followers? I think it's two. So that's kind of a lot of exposure for SoRare, but I think it's kind of enough to make people aware of what it is. You know, typically with marketing, it's not like you don't just sort of put yourself in front of people and they sort of instantly take you up. You tend to sort of have a sort of slow drip effect of, you know, the more people see it, they kind of get more interested in it and that kind of thing. So if we got to that point and, you know, they'd seen that this thing was around for a year and it's kind of consistent, it's probably in quite good shape to push on from there. So yeah, ideally I'd like to see kind of more divisions and more prizes and more people playing, and hopefully more new people playing, because that's the whole point of the academy. You know, we're happy for anyone to come and play, but the purpose is to try and get new people on board and new people who haven't had chance to play before. So that's the kind of hope, really, and to try and just make it as easy as possible for someone to get involved in, because what particularly the academy allows you to dodge initially in your onboarding journey is the whole, you know, what the hell is crypto thing, and how do I buy it? Because to play the SoRare Academy, you don't really need to do that. So yeah, as many people as possible to be able to experience the game, and then they're in an informed position of, you know, actually, do I like this game? And if so, then they're much more inclined to learn about cryptocurrency. Whereas if they've never played the game and they don't understand it, they'll probably just go, that's not for me, it's too complicated. But hopefully, with a bit of help from the academy, that makes life a little bit easier for them.
I'd agree. This is a fairly complex space to come into. It's not just like another product you're advertising. Here's the product, go away and you buy it, that's it. There's a lot of elements to it that you have to get your head around for a lot of people coming into this space. So it might be a case of, you're trying to onboard friends, it can be difficult to explain everything about SoRare and everything about the space to them. And it's, for some people, that just puts them off. You can see them visibly. They shut down. They're not interested. After a couple of seconds, it's too much for some people. But I think this might be a route for me to use. Let's get my friends to come into SoRare Academy. It's a simple way for them to learn. Okay, I pick five players, can start competing there, have a bit of fun doing so. The competitive aspect of doing that and seeing where they compete come every week, and then delving further into SoRare Native and then the other side games going on to Mega.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd encourage that. I think I've dropped this to a few of my friends and said, who were of that very similar mindset you mentioned, where they'd be reluctant to do anything that requires more than two or three sign up screens, but they will play this. So if you send this to them and say, "Oh, pick your best five, see if you can beat me, and you might win a prize," and it takes just a few minutes to play.
That's it. I bet you can beat me next week. there you go.
I think you'll be surprised, Hibby, because my fantasy performance is very much down from my content creating days. You should see my FPL team; it's atrocious.
Where are you? So I've never taken this serious. This is the first season I think I'm ever going to actually finish a season.
I think I'm somewhere around 900K. And this is down mainly to my stubbornness in refusing to bring in Trent. Because I didn't want to do a full template team. And I think that cost me about 100 points. And then I've also tried to bet against Salah a couple of times. which has turned out to be a calamitous.
Silly mistake. Yeah, so
I'm a bit worried now because you're only a few points behind me, Adam, and I thought I was doing all right.
Well, so as I said, so I've never taken this serious. This is my first year. I didn't really even know what the rules were and how to use the three, like the...
Yeah,
I used, I can show you my history on it, right? It's so patchy, it's horrendous. But I've actually, so I started off amazing this week. I basically got Buzzing Paul to give me an initial team, picked that team. They went great. And then I've tinkered since then. So I'm on 1,000 points, but I've been the last 6 or 7 game weeks, I've just been red arrows all the way down. So I'm 372K, but I was in the top 1% for most of the season so far, but it's just been slipping.
Oh, nice. Slipping. Screenshot that and then retire.
But I just wanted to go into what it shows me is how boring FPL actually is. Literally all I've done is captain Salah every week. And by doing so, you're kind of there or thereabout.
Well, I mean, I like FBL, but I totally get what you mean. Because I think for a lot of people, particularly if you play so rare, it's got a bigger kind of so what element, right? Because you you can succeed, but during games as well.
Yeah, I think it's like the engagement during games that you get from Surrey or some of the other games compared to FBL is... So I see a notification.
But don't you just get engaged in what's in front of you? I mean, of course, if you've just laid down 5 Surrey cards that are all in Japan and Korea, you're going to get behind them. In the same way that if you've just played your FPL team and it's, you know, Watford v Burnley tonight, it's been postponed, you're going to look straight at your team and go, "Oh, I'm not going to get any points for these guys or these guys." You know, just listening to the enthusiasm you're all sharing towards FPL, and it's a game that, you know, I've never been able to get behind. The only time I did like it was when I knew I was starting off on the same footing as everybody else. And this might also have some rationale why, you know, maybe Surrey does offer, you know, it is difficult to convert people over, is that you get to August and you want to have a few beers, you're like, okay, right, I'm going to select my team now. Now, you might get bored after 3 or 4 weeks because, say, everyone's got the same team as you, or you got off to a sluggish start, or, you know, you just can't be bothered any longer. But the fact that everyone starts out on the same playing field, you know, is attractive. If you're introducing someone to Surrey and you've been on the platform, even if you've only been on the platform for a few weeks, 6 months or 12 months, then whoever you're introducing is going to look up at your account and go, geez, I'm well behind the curve here. Mm-hmm. It's not as if we can offer those that didn't join us when we joined the ability to come on and compete with us really on a level playing field. Yes, they can go into Global All-Star. I still call it D4, so I'm going to go with it, D4. Yeah. They can still get involved in, you know, after limiteds, for example. But at the end of the day, if they want to compete with you and you've been on the platform even for a few weeks, and even if you've put in, you know, let's say a couple of £100, well, then they're 3 or 4 weeks behind you and they're £200 behind you, which, as we all know, is quite a large gap to catch up. Whereas they can turn around and say, well, I can get involved in a free-to-play game, or I know that every August I can start FPL. And if I really want to do something this season, I'll come and just join you there and, you know, be in your mini league and, you know, play and compete against you there. Why would I need to push myself to, you know, learn about so much new stuff and spend just to keep up with you in something else?
The reward element. So
yeah, but I think there's two different things there, though, Mark, because I think it's partly that. But the other big difference with FPL is it can all be over by Christmas. If you're so far behind what you're still playing for, at least for Surrey, you're playing every week or twice a week and you're still in with a chance of winning. So I think that they're two different things. I think they're quite difficult to compare, but I think that point about it not being a level playing field, I think, you know, it is an issue, and we need to be honest and talk about Surrey being essentially a pay-to-win game, because, you know, it is. But it's how you level that and how you can make it fairer for people, such as it is with the academy, because at least everybody's picking from the same pool of people. So, and with the threshold rewards, you know, which we still don't know what's going to happen with them, at least we're not competing against each other. We're competing against the points target. So, You know, if I win, that doesn't mean that somebody who's only been on for a couple of weeks doesn't have the same chance of winning if they can hit the points. So I think there's things that So Rare can do to help to rebalance things.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, and I've been lobbying, and probably less so recently, but I still maintain that if you're going to keep trying to build layer upon layer on the tournaments, that those, you know, the differences that you've just explained there, they're not going to go away. There has to be a completely new angle to the game. You know, we've always been told that Serrera is about collecting cards, whereas I feel as though we're potentially drifting away from that, you know, tagline of, you know, collect and play. Well, it's not about collecting. It's about owning the right cards at the right time. And it's about parting with cards at the right time and bringing new cards in that are correct to own. It's not that Serrera has lost its identity for me in terms of collecting. It's not a collecting platform. You know, and that, yet that is still one of the main headlines. Yes, you can come in, you can collect some nice, pretty cards. You can collect the team, collect players from the teams that you support or you enjoy. But you're not progressing in the game if you're going down the collecting route. You are only advancing in the game or maintaining pace with the fastest growers in the game if, like you've just described on FPL, if you've got your Salah captain. If you've got in all the regulars that everyone's, you know, getting the weekly points with, that's keeping you in the pack. That's keeping you in the hunt for prizes on across the divisions. As soon as you start to allow sentimentality to creep into your Serrera collection, I guarantee you're not going to get the same sort of returns on your outlay, which is a real shame. So for me, there has to be a fundamental switch from it being so tournament driven and so tournament led to, you've got to allow people to come in, buy the cards they like, even if they are the worst performing cards on SO5 under the current scoring matrix. But there has to be a reward. There has to be something given to those people that come in and want to buy Monza cards, or they want to come in and they want to buy, you know, cards from their own country, even though they know in terms of a tournament perspective, they're not going to be able to compete with your Bayern Munichs, your PSGs and so forth. And I think that's the real shame from my side.
I think there's plenty that they can do with that. And I think the fact that they've announced Bundesliga moments to come hopefully next year, I think that's a sign that they want to just give a little bit more interest to collecting the cards themselves, because you'll then have this fantastic moment of your favourite Bundesliga player smashing a goal. And, you know, let's be honest, they could do more with the artwork. They could provide sort of electronic albums like sticker books so you could put your cards in. They could do lots more, I think, if they wanted to make this truly a collectibles game. Because, you know, a lot of NFT projects, when you look at the artwork, it's, you know, not great, let's be honest, but people will buy it. And they've got the opportunity to do something really innovative with these player cards. You know, now they're growing a bigger team, I'm sure that's something that they're looking at, so that it can be a focus on collecting if that's what you want to do. And if you want to play tournaments, then that's fine too. And there should be both arms to that. I mean, I think Serrera's in an interesting place at the moment, because certainly from listening to this podcast and kind of watching the Discord and social media chatter over recent weeks, it feels like we're in a bit of a low ebb, where people who've been very vocal supporters of the platform have started to question things a little bit in recent weeks. I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but it feels like we're in a bit of a, not a financial kind of dip, but a sort of, I don't know, a dip of spirit, perhaps, for want of a better word.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we've seen thousands of new users join in the last week or so. So there's certainly still demand coming in, but I think with earlier adopters, people who have been here for a bit of time and are looking for things to be fixed or to move on, progress, yeah, I've definitely seen a bit of that coming in. And
do you think some of that is because it's not shiny and new anymore, and there's maybe other toys that are turning people's heads? Because that was something that I wondered as well, because there's other people moving into this space now.
Elements of that, I don't think there's genuinely anything that's that shiny and new that's turning people's heads. I think the vast majority of people who are here would rather that Serrera kicks on and is the place that they want to be and want to be successful. The potential for it is far greater than some of the other random stuff that's going on and people are FOMOing into, I think. But yeah, there's lots of things competing for all our attention and all our money at the moment, isn't there? So that is a consideration. I just think...
Is it the cats attempting you?
There's cats, there's all sorts. Cats are definitely tempting. I missed that boat massively. Feel bad for that. I've missed, John, you in this space, you miss more than you're going to catch. That's part of it. And for me, it's about finding the things that really resonate with you, things that you are passionate about. And for me, that's always going to be football. So this is something I can get behind. So I want this to be successful, but I am going to look at things in the wider space. I am going to look at other NFT football games because they can complement my enjoyment in this space. So yeah, I think Sarir has a golden opportunity to dominate the market, and it needs to kick on. It needs to innovate and move forward. We've seen massive investment come in recently, but I think, and you alluded to it, Mark, it's kind of lost its initial identity around the collecting element. There were certain pillars. I think there was the three pillars around coming in and you know building your team, entering that team, and getting rewards. We know there's issues with the rewards at the moment and a lot of frustrations there. I think there's just a lot of wee niggling issues that need to be sorted and addressed. And yeah, it doesn't seem to be where we're getting new clubs. I think when there are these frustrations out there, certain things can just annoy the user base even more, can't they? So we see lots of new clubs being added, and every time a new club is added, you can guarantee there'll be questions about when rewards, or are we getting more rewards, are we getting less rewards this week? And they're making a rod for their own back to an extent.
And it's been a vicious circle, I think, for about 6 to 12 months in terms of, you know, we've had it so good for so long, you know, the market's flown, ETH's gone up in value, you know, and that's been helped by the fact that a lot of the user base will insist on using ETH instead of a fiat equivalent when trading. You know, people have found formulas that work very well for them. There's loads of great content out there where, you know, whatever budget you decide you want to come in on, you've got people turning £100 into £200, you've got people turning £500 into £1,000, and on and on and on and on and on. So, you know, people can obviously forego, you know, the bits that they think, if I was doing it, I'd improve that. If I was in charge of that, I'd be doing this differently. Because if you're turning 100 into 200 and 500 into 1,000, you know, you're probably going to give them a bit of leeway. But at some point, that goodwill is going to go, well, I can go and turn my £500 into 1,000 over there. I can go and turn my £100 into £200 over there. And as much as I like this, as much as I love football and whatever, I've been sold this, and I'm conditioned now to looking at Sarir more as a money-making exercise. Yes, it gives me enjoyment, but ultimately, if I want enjoyment, I can go and do FPL, I can go and do a domestic-based, you know, thing, and I don't have to have that ownership aspect. I can still go and enjoy and watch the football games I want to watch, and I can still play with the friends I want to play. We've had no segregation in tournaments. You know, we've had no move towards social-based leagues, which, fortunately, we can get through a place like Sarir Bragg. But in terms of the game evolving in the last 12 months, yes, the move over to layer 2 Starkware, I can imagine the challenges there, but we've had no update to the scoring matrix. We've had no real evolvement from the tournament structure. You know, we're still on the fence about limited goalkeepers and common goalkeepers being used there. I think there's some indecisiveness going on because there's a load of great community feedback. And yes, okay, we don't get to see all of the moving parts from behind the scenes, and we perhaps can't put ourselves completely in the shoes of Nicholas and the team there. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you look at the feedback section on Discord, it's not a load of, you know, hot air just being blown out. There's some genuinely good ideas there, and why some of these aren't taken on board more seriously and implemented. You know, even basic things like setting training teams, you know, we've all been involved in other Discord communities, and even Sarir at the very beginning. Yes, okay, it's much bigger now. Maybe the turning circle of making decisions, and you know, you've got different hierarchy in terms of departments. It's more challenging now, but need to ship more stuff. There's not enough being shipped compared to where we were 12 months, 18 months, 24 months ago. And it's not through lack of ideas and, what should we do? Should we do this? You've got people crying and screaming and telling them, this would be better, this would be better. And, you know, at some point they're going to have to make decisions, whether those decisions are going to be right straight away. I mean, we've had times where they make a decision, you know, they get feedback, backtrack a little bit, shuffle it around, and then come out again and they hit it perfectly second time running. But these next decisions are crucial. And more importantly now is the timing side. They've got to start shipping again, because we've not seen any major updates other than a few teams. And I'm not belittling the Bundesliga or the Liga, which are enormous IP additions to the platform. But there's no reason that they couldn't have come with their own Bundesliga one monthly tournament, or a La Liga three monthly tournament with, you know, yes, we had special prizes for, you know, tickets and so forth. But, you know, we've had the same format, we've not nailed the rewards. There's a lot of things that need, you know, a little bit of a slap, get them back on track again, which I have no doubt they can do. But so far, they seem to be delaying it for, I don't know why.
And I get everything you're saying. I have a little bit of sympathy for them. I mean, I don't feel that sorry for them, because they're all the top team have probably made a lot of money out of this, but they don't have sometimes their job isn't particularly enviable from a perspective of, you know, if you're in Nicholas's shoes, you know, you've obviously got a very established user base who have profited a lot, and they've now got a lot of money invested based on kind of current game rules and current positions. So, you know, okay, I need to get another 100,000 users. How do I do that? Well, I make the cards cheaper. And if you do that, you know, run the risk of pissing off all your existing user base, right? So
yeah.
you just sort of feel like they're in this position where, you know, anytime they breathe, someone will get annoyed about it. And so it's like, you can totally imagine yourself sitting there trying to make positive changes, but actually feeling pretty, you know, for all your kind of power and all your money that you've got, actually feeling pretty hamstrung. That would be my kind of feeling. And I think, but I guess what they've got in their favor is that, you know, they've got a lot of money, they've got a lot of investment, and they've probably got a bit of time, but people are impatient. You know, they are, like, as you said, you know, it's almost like, what did you do for me yesterday? You know, people's loyalty only kind of lasts so long. And I think we saw this on other platforms as well, on Football Index. You know, when people, they make a lot of money very quickly, they, as you said, the word is conditioned, you know, they become accustomed to that being normal. And if, you know, the market ever hits a kind of rough patch or a kind of enthusiasm drains, people can kind of drift away, and they get sort of tetchy about even small decisions that aren't going maybe the way they want to go. So I think it is tough. I think if you kind of imagine yourself in Sarah's position, it's not always easy. And I think you picked up on the thing I think they can do as well, which is to create other reasons for things to have value. And I think that's always been the kind of longer term plan, right? Is if you can, SO5, I think ideally would be the kind of the basic utility of So Rare cards. And if you can get sort of partnership deals done and get So Rare cards into sort of big games and big football titles, and give people, like, you know, different reasons to value these cards that are not just about SO5, then maybe you will get to that point where you can have you know, real collectors in the game that are not that focused on scores necessarily, but are able to focus on holding an NFT in the same way other people hold NFTs, which is because they like the art and they think it's going to be valuable one day, without necessarily having any kind of game around them. There are loads of those projects out there. So if I was So Rare, I think what I would do is I probably would feel those same constraints about not being able to change the current game rules too much, but, you know, what else can you do? You know, what other games can you create that kind of give different value to things, rather than kind of changing much in SO5, which would end up just kind of annoying as many people as it pleased, probably. I don't know.
That's quite an interesting point, actually, because I wonder whether they see the side games as providing that. So us, So Rare Mega, all the rest, I mean, that's a way for the cards to have more utility, for there to be more interest in the game without So Rare actually having to develop it themselves, which is quite clever, really, when you think about it. And, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of their lack of action, I guess that the counter argument to that is we talked about other platforms and how actually when people shouted loudly and said we're not happy on other platforms, quick changes were made, decisions were made to keep the community happy, which ended up crashing the whole thing. So maybe they're just keeping their counsel, and maybe they've got an idea that we've not even thought about, and they're going to launch it in the new year and everyone's going to be happy again. I think it's really hard now because they're not a startup anymore. They're in that really weird space where they're still communicating with people a little bit like they probably did when they were a startup, and people have still got the expectations that they had when they could be in direct communication with the team all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're answering to much bigger investors now, and you know they've got to do things in a slightly different way. So I think we're just at this point of friction at the moment, really.
Yeah, some really good points there. I think I agree with almost everything you both said there. It is a difficult time for them. I don't envy the team, but I also have confidence that they will get it right. I hope that they get it right. I want this to be the platform that I could see it becoming and evolving into. And I think you're maybe right with some of the third-party sites offering that and doing a lot of the work for Surreyor, and that maybe gives them that leeway to develop some of the other core issues fixes that need to be looked at. So let's hope in the next couple of months we do see some of these changes. But I've always had a bit of confidence that they've taken it at a pace and not rushed into things, like you said, Mel. Mm. We've seen that in other places, by not rushing in, actually taking a bit of counsel and thinking about it. But it does feel over the last couple of months it has been a little bit slow, and we do need to see some enhancements, even if there was just an upgrade to, as you said, Mark, the training teams. I've stopped putting in all my training teams. So I've got 70 or 80 training teams that I need to do. If you need to change them every week, it's a nightmare. It takes far too much time. It's not engaging. It's not adding any fun to the game. It's just a laborious task. You know, it's an admin task that I'm having to do twice weekly, whereas there's such a quick win in there that they could do something with training that could teach people about the game or give them some kind of enjoyment out there. Even if it's your training teams were involved in some kind of local leagues that with your friends, and you could add all the people that you follow on your Surreyor account.
I've got an idea. I think you should just give me all the cards that you're going to stick into training, Hybe, and I'll sort them out for you. I'll put them in some games. Give them to me.
That's multi-accounting. Yeah, I can't be doing that, Mel. Sorry.
It's becoming a burden. I'm happy to sort of take some of those off your hands.
Hey, I asked first.
But I think and that just highlights a point as well. So there's lots of different people with lots of different playing experiences on the platform. And that's also something that's very difficult for Surreyor to understand and then to balance, right? So my experience, the collection I have and how long I've been on the platform, how much money I've put in, how much money I've taken out, what I plan to do in the future, how I see the platform is completely different to the other 60,000-70,000 users on there. And they can only go by the aggregated data that they have, and they can see obviously that you get feedback via the Discords and via other forums, but it is quite difficult to please everyone. It's always going to be difficult to please everyone, and I think I'm probably an outlier in the average user base of the platform, so changes that come are probably not going to always satisfy me they're not aiming to satisfy me necessarily all the time. It's the core, the middle of the platform. So yeah, I think we have to take that into account, but it's so complex. It's such a new space, a growing platform with all these new clubs coming on, new players. The dynamics of the economy within the game has changed so much over the year and a half that people have been on. Everyone's had different expectations. Yes, I really don't envy Nicholas and the guys.
It's tough. But what they do have is the licenses. You know, that's their kind of base. Because other football games will kind of always come along. But if Surreyor have the official licenses, they're always going to have a place, aren't they? Because that means something to a lot of people. So I think they've done a lot of work on that. They've got that one more fence to knock down with the EPL, but if they were to get that, they've kind of done. And I think, you know, my absolute amateur opinion is it's difficult for another company to buy those EPL rights when So Rare's got that much cash and is that well established. It seems like, I mean, maybe I'm completely naive, I'm not an expert on the topic, but it would really surprise me if they sold those rights to someone who wasn't So Rare, at least in a kind of blanket way. You know, maybe things, Panini get like rights to a sticker book and So Rare get digital rights or something like that. But it would surprise me if they didn't get it. But I have zero insider knowledge or very much intel at all, but that's just my opinion.
I was going to say, I guess the elephant in the room is the UK Gambling Commission and whether they're going to make any kind of statement about So Rare again, because I suppose that could influence the EPL rights as well.
Yeah, for sure. I guess my take on their announcement that they were looking at it is that they're probably just trying to, given what happened with Football Index, they just want people to know that, you know, they've seen it, you know, they're on it. And I wouldn't be surprised if their conclusion was that this is kind of nothing to do with us. So just so that they can be clear that they looked at it and made people aware that this was an unregulated space. That would be my opinion on what they're doing. Could be wrong, but I don't think that will stay the same forever. I think legislation is moving into the kind of NFT crypto space, and it probably should. You know, I think there is good reason to have some kind of sensible regulation of this kind of activity, because you know, it's at the moment it is a bit of a wild west, which some people like. I like elements of it, but I think a lot of people, even within NFT themselves, they often welcome kind of sensible regulation as long as it's not kind of too heavy-handed. So I would expect something like that to come along in the next year or two for sure.
Does anyone have a best guess as to what percentage of the Surreal user base that's come out of the UK? Because I've always had it in my mind is we're relatively small in comparison to the French community, in comparison to, you know, the grand community they've got in Germany and Spain. Obviously, you know, we can list every single country. But, you know, whenever I've, you know, maybe it's the people that I'm following or follow me on Twitter, yeah, there's certainly a UK feel to it. But I always still play this game feeling that we are in the minority, especially when I'm, you know, negotiating for deals. I don't think I've got that many people from the UK that I do a lot of deals with. I seem to have, you know, inquiries from everywhere else. So yeah, I appreciate the UK will want to make sure that they protect the interests of us here that, you know, have got accounts that are domiciled or resident here. But, you know, how big are we really on the grand scale of things?
Hard to know. I mean, from the Academy site, which you would expect to be more kind of UK centric, we're still, I think it was like last time I checked, about 30%, 30-40% of users. No, not, it won't be 40, it'll be close to 30% of users will have been UK, which actually surprised me because I thought a lot of people would, you know, more of a fantasy football scout sort of audience would come to that. But it shows that a lot of existing So Rare players are playing as well. And many of them were from France and indeed all over the world. You could see it on the map, on the analytics. But yeah, I think, as we've touched on before, I think until you get that kind of blanket EPL license and you see a lot more kind of So Rare marketing spend in the UK, it is still quite a niche topic for football fans in the country. And so is NFT still, you know, for all the hype about it, it is kind of bewildering to the vast majority of people.
Yeah, I reckon we're quite low down. I've just done a Google Trends search on the word So Rare for the last 12 months worldwide. Where do you think we are on the list, the United Kingdom?
48th.
Ninth.
not quite those extremes. We're 19th. We're below Slovenia, believe it or not. Well, so 19th. The top five are France, Luxembourg, Belgium, Spain, and Italy.
There's a lot of All Black fans out there, obviously.
And Switzerland in sixth, which is probably because everybody's desperately searching to understand what they've been banned from.
There's got to be a bot in Slovenia, right? If they're above us, it can't be that many users.
Imagine if Pavel was in Switzerland. Whew.
Venezuela's above us. That's in 10th.
That's suspicious.
A lot of the
South American nations are more advanced in crypto adoption, though. They are. And that's, I think, one of the reasons Rare have went for these leagues, because they are. I think Brazil, in particular, are one of the most advanced, aren't they? So, yeah, you probably will see this global game. You know, we normally have a very UK-centric view of everything in our media, from our football, from our sports in general, but this offers up, yeah, whole new insights into how the world views sport and football.
I think also Venezuela, don't they use Bitcoin as their main currency now? Hasn't that taken over as their primary currency?
I think you might be right. I've got to share this, Adam. So Rare Academy is fourth on the list of related queries for So Rare, just below So Rare Data. Woo!
There you go.
Should we have a new little segment to the pod? And it's just off the cuff. It's guess which player Hybe has bought during the course of this conversation.
I've not bought anyone.
Oh, no, you're giving it away, Hybe.
I've not bought anyone. However, I have changed a couple of players in my Serrer Academy lineup for next week. So, yeah, it's been positive. I think I just got a bit worried with some Premier League call-offs. So Salah's had to come out. Van Dijk's had to come out.
Is that the silence of everyone taking notes from Hybe's team selection? Everyone frantically
removing Premier League players, right?
Everyone off the bar, Salah and Van Dijk put in their team.
I think Salah's been one of the most picked players in our winning teams on the academy, along with Alisson.
Well, I always say that on the Fantasy Scout.
Give me some alpha here, Ben. I'll cut this bit out. But who should I be picking for next week? Who's going to make me win?
Oof, I don't know. I've been picking whoever's playing Greuther Fürth in the Bundesliga. great success, because they're just getting absolutely destroyed week in, week out. I think it was, was it Leverkusen last week?
Yeah.
I picked for the academy and they did well.
But Schick on a bit of a run.
I watched Leverkusen play the other day against Frankfurt. It was on BT and Leverkusen started strong 2-0 up and then got tonked 5-2. And I think they probably could have lost 8-10-2. They were woeful. They were really shocking. I've always had a worry about Radecki owners. I know he's been used to be a more cost-effective way to get a Champions Europe goalkeeper, but Harley Mackerel would not be wanting to have him in my team and with aspirations of winning something. They look great going forward, but at their back, Jonathan Tai moves slower than certain divisions of the game. if you want to just give a big plug or tell people in no uncertain terms how they can get started on your platform.
Sure, why not? So I guess the thing about the academy is it's free to play. It takes 5 minutes to sign up, and I think if you've got if you're a So Rare player already, you can play as well. But I would say send it to your friends, the kind of skeptics or the people who can't be bothered to sign up or kind of adverse to buying crypto, and just send them that, and they can get playing for free. They won't have to buy any crypto, and they can just experience what the game is about. And then once they've seen it, they're usually a little bit more willing to then go through a kind of sign up process for something they're enjoying.
Nice. And you can come and see if you can beat me. It's not that hard. It really isn't, week in, week out, but I think we've got a better team this week. New tactic.
And just to say as well, we give out some cracking rewards. I mean, it's the favourite part of my week when I see the list of rewards that are going out and signing those off and knowing that we're making people happy. So it is really worth playing.
They're good, aren't they?
Don't forget there's the collector angle to it as well, Mel.
They're very collectible, if you like yellow.
Love it. We all love yellow. So, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you very much for your time today. I know we have run over a wee bit, but...
Bro, thanks for having us on. Enjoyable. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you both.
Yeah, cheers so much. It's been great.
See you again next December, Mel.
let's make it an annual event.
I think we should, right? So it's like the Christmas pod with Mel. We should have done this, right? It should have been a Christmas jumper one. And we'll do this next year.
I've dressed my gutter cat in a Christmas jumper on Twitter now. So, let's make it Christmassy again next year.
Next year, you'll have like wearables into Central Land that you'll be able to put on your Christmas cat or wherever, whatever metaverse.
Well, next time we can talk about, maybe next time we come on, we can talk a bit about Club, which is a game both Mel and I are working on, which is a sort of, it's a free-to-play but NFT game which is going to have a kind of clubhouse metaverse sort of thing eventually. But Something where I'm working on at the moment. We're going to have a beta in April. So it's going to be, it's a little bit more like FPL in terms of you pick your team, and there's no kind of pay to win element really, but the NFTs come in the kind of club building aspect of the game. So you can get you could win like a legendary stadium that is a sort of NFT and rare. You could win like an animated club badge that is rare, or a legendary kit that's an NFT as well. So we're going for that sort of route where, you know, everyone will be able to play because the kind of the competitive element of the game is not locked away behind money. But because you'll be able to earn rewards for the cosmetics, you will be able to kind of trade those freely on a marketplace as well, which will be quite interesting because, you know, you've got a way to kind of play and earn along there. But it doesn't have that kind of barrier in that you kind of everyone can kind of get involved and just play without having to pay lots of money if they don't want to.
Very nice. Yeah, I think we'll be looking at that one before next year. We'll definitely have you back on, Adam and Mel, to chat about that one. It looks interesting. I've seen another video.
I didn't want to plug it on the main pod, but if you want to talk about that another time, it'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that fictitious stadiums and badges, or are this? Have you gone down the route of looking to get consent on those?
No, it will be fictional. So you will similar to like an art based NFT project. There could be like, say, we print 5,000 unique artwork club badges, say, and 10 of them will be animated and kind of special. So the idea is people kind of chase down the really sort of valuable special ones. And similar with a stadium, you know, there might be just 10 copies of this stadium or only one copy of this stadium. And if you want it, you've got to kind of trade on the marketplace for it. So it will be, it's not, it's real players. So kind of real player names in the same way it is for FPL. But we can't use, we can't kind of sell you the Liverpool badge or anything.
Oh, well, look, appreciate it. Even just showing that was really kind. Thank you.
It's an interesting space. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see more of this in the club. Yeah, definitely looks interesting. So keep us posted.
I'll send you a link to the website and stuff so you can sort of see. But yeah, I think probably So Rare sorts of people might be interested in it because it's got the NFT sort of angle. So
very nice.
Perfect. Look, if we don't speak, have a great Christmas, everybody. And thanks again for your time and all your input. So good luck over the coming months with your various projects.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all. Thanks for having us. Bye.
So that brings us to the end of today's Sorare Global Fantasy Football Podcast. I hope you found it useful. And as always, if you could like, subscribe and leave a review, then we can help introduce the fantastic concept to more users. See you next time.